Well, good morning. Nice to see everyone here today. As many of you have been following me through the book of Revelation, I'm going to take a little detour today. I think last time I mentioned that it would be advisable for us, or a good thing, to talk about the resurrections in Scripture. There are a number of resurrections, two resurrections, as a matter of fact, but the first one is in three different stages. The reason why this topic comes up in studying the book of Revelation is that we looked last time at Revelation chapter 7. And there we saw a great multitude who no one could number, of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, standing before the throne. We looked at that carefully, and they were standing before the throne. They weren't standing around the throne. They were before the throne. These are tribulation saints, as we looked at, that stand before the throne of God. God is going to dwell among them, and he's going to wipe away every tear. They won't thirst anymore. This speaks of the millennial period that they're going to be introduced into. And so there's a little bit of confusion. When do these resurrections take place? I want you to turn with me for an introduction then to John chapter 5 and verse 28. John chapter 5 and verse 28. Do not marvel at this, the Lord Jesus is speaking. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation or judgment. So these are the two resurrections. There's the resurrection to life, the resurrection to judgment. Those that are resurrected to life, judgment has passed when the Lord Jesus Christ was judged for them upon the cross. And in believing, they have entered into life free from condemnation. So that's the two resurrections. The resurrection to life by those that have the hope within them. And there's the resurrection to judgment, to those who died in their sins with judgment to follow. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So we want to take a look at these two resurrections today. First of all, I want to think about the very topic of resurrection. Where in the world did that idea come from in the human race? It goes back a long, long, long ways, before the flood. Probably came from the garden itself, in the promise made through the condemnation of the devil that the seed would come one day who would destroy him who had the power of death. So in there is an intimation that there would be a sacrifice, a life for a life, and the access to the tree of life having been barred, but through a sacrifice, there is that promise of a future, eternal life. And that was borne out by what happened to Enoch. Enoch walked with God 300 years and he was not, for God had taken him. He had translated him. In other words, this is perhaps the clearest picture right from the dawn of history that man's ultimate destiny was not the earth, but for heaven. The man was designed for heaven. Because Enoch, walking with God, went to heaven. Now, Job, another ancient man, post-flood, post-diluvian, he says this in chapter 19 of his book, Job chapter 19, verse 25. Here was the hope of a resurrection. For I know that my Redeemer lives, he says, and he shall stand on the earth, he says. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, he says, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Oh, he says, how my heart yearns within me for that day. His hope, he despaired of life, but his hope was in a life beyond his suffering, when he would stand before his Redeemer on the earth. There was the thing that the Lord Jesus would come, or his Redeemer would come at the last day on the earth. So there in ancient times, we had that hope. And then in the book of Revelation, we read about the souls under the altar and their cry, how long, O Lord, how long? Not only were they crying to be avenged of their martyrdom, but they were crying for how long would they be reunited with their bodies, as promised from the scriptures. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Here we get now the number of resurrections. First resurrection. The first and second resurrection. The first resurrection is a resurrection unto life, as we mentioned. And it is actually in three main stages. There we find 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For, as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ, all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterward, those that are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. So there we see a couple of stages there. Christ, the first fruits. He was the first fruits of those that slept. He was the first fruit to be resurrected out from among the dead. Now, I'd like you to turn with me to Mark chapter 9 and verse 10 for a moment. Mark chapter 9 and verse 10. The Jews had their predominant thought was that there would be a general resurrection at the end of the age, where there is just one basic resurrection, those to life, those to judgment. So there would be, all the saints would be all resurrected at the same time. When the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples, he used a peculiar phrase when he spoke of his resurrection. It says that he would rise again from the third day. Now, in our translations, we don't get the finer translation there. But in this one place, we do. Because he tells them there, verse 9, as they came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, that is, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Verse 10. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. Well, they were steeped in, they believed in the resurrection. Well, what was their problem? The problem was this, that he used a particular phrase that is not translated, to be risen from among the dead. In other words, it was a selective resurrection. You get it? When the Lord Jesus spoke, he said he wasn't going to rise at the end. He was going to rise from among the dead. So there'd be some that would be left. He would rise from among the dead. So that was a peculiar thing for them. They didn't understand that. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again, to the order of resurrection. In Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is talking of the resurrection of the New Testament saints, the church. He's not talking about a general resurrection here, because he mentions there in verse 23. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we have Christ raised from the dead. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. That's the first stage of the first resurrection. The second stage is the rapture of the church itself, where Christ comes for his own. John chapter 14, verse 3 says that if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Where I am, he will be in heaven. He raised from the dead at the right hand of the Father. So when the Christians are received, they are received into heaven. Very important concept. Colossians chapter 3. Where it says there in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The point here is that the Christian, at the resurrection, when he comes, we're going to appear with him in glory. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 21. For our citizenship here is in heaven, from which, that is from heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So that's the hope of the church. It's a heavenly calling to be caught up together in the clouds. As Enoch foreshadowed this, the rapture, in that he was translated into heaven at Christ's coming for the church. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now notice the place of meeting. It's in the air. That's a point. It's not on the earth, it's in the air. We rise to meet the Lord in the air. He receives us to himself. He, as it were, comes down to meet us, as it were, to welcome us into his very presence. And we're changed into his image. He who is our life, when he appears, we're going to also appear with him in glory, not on the earth. So we have a heavenly destiny. But notice this one phrase as well. The dead in Christ will rise first. Now, some think that the Old Testament saints will be resurrected at this particular time. What about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Isaiah, Micah, Malachi? When will they be resurrected? Will it be at this time? Well, it says very plainly here, that if you take this technically, it says the dead in Christ will rise first. And we, which are alive, they were Christians in this age. So there would be only the Christians that would be taken up at the rapture. And that makes sense. Because if you study it in the Old Testament, if you think that the Old Testament saints are going to rise at the rapture, then you're going to have to spiritualize some of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the resurrection. And you run into problems. I would say the majority of commentators, conservative commentators, they would agree among themselves that it's the church alone that is resurrected at this time at the rapture. Those in Christ. Because that's a technical term that's used throughout the New Testament. But let's look at some other ones. Let's look then, if it's not the Old Testament saints, because they're not in Christ. They have not been... The term to be in Christ means that the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, and you are in Christ, in the body of Christ. That's the technical term, to be in Christ. Now, the coming of the Lord is in two stages as well. We have the first coming, when he comes for the church. And the second coming is when he comes down to the earth in person. His feet actually stand upon the earth. He comes to judge, and he comes with his saints at that time. So there's the two comings. And it brings the interesting point of what the word coming, we think of coming, we think of just the arrival, but the word, Greek word there, is the parousia, is parousia. And it has a lengthier meaning. It means not only the initial arriving, but it also means the subsequent visit with. So when we think of, for example, if the Queen were to visit Canada, we would talk about her coming. Well, she arrived by air at a certain place and lands in Montreal, say, and begins her trip across Canada. And all that time is the coming. And even to the day that she leaves, we speak of it as the coming of the Queen. And the parousia, that is the picture of the word that's used in of the word of the coming of the Lord. So the coming of the Lord it means the coming as for his saints, to take them to heaven, his subsequent time with the saints in heaven, where we find the judgment seat of the Christ judgment seat, where reward is given out, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's all the parousia, and then him coming with his saints and actually coming to the earth itself, and that's called the revealing, the revelation, the apocalypse, as it were, when he actually comes. And that's the climax of his coming. When he comes for the church, it's not the revealing, because the world did not see the Lord Jesus. We're going to be changed to be like him. When he comes the second time to earth, he's going to be revealed to the earth in his power and his glory. He's going to take up the kingdoms, and he's going to reign, and he's going to judge the world. When he does, there is going to be a resurrection. It's going to satisfy the souls under the altar. How long, O Lord? Rest a little while. Rest a little while until your fellow servants also have been slain for the testimony of Jesus and the word of God. And so let's take a look now at a few Old Testament scriptures. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, probably the clearest to for our understanding of when the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints both are going to be resurrected. Daniel 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up. Michael the archangel, he is the prince that is the one who is in care of the nation of Israel. We find him in the book of Revelation standing up for his people. It says, that great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, it says. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. That time is the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation. And at that time, your people are going to be delivered. We know that that will be the end of the tribulation, when the Jews will be tested and tried. Many will give their lives. The nation, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the entire world. Multitudes of Gentiles will be saved, hearing the gospel, the everlasting gospel, not the gospel of the grace of God you'll hear today. It's fear God and give glory to him. And it says, at that time, he says, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And then here, verse 2, notice this. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Many, not all, many. Because there's two resurrections. The first resurrection is to life. The second is to judgment. And the many who are raised on the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, And here the commentators apparently fall down, or the translators, because that word some in the second clause, some to ever should shame, shouldn't be in there. It's not in any other construction in the Hebrew. And so there the some are raised to everlasting life, the rest to shame and everlasting contempt. There's the two resurrections, to life and to judgment. But when are they raised? When are the old, he's speaking to the Old Testament saints. And he's also implying that the tribulation saints as well. It'll be after the tribulation is when the timing takes place for that resurrection. The third phase of the resurrection to life. There are other scriptures as well in the Old Testament. There's quite a number. We don't have time this morning to look, except maybe one more, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Your dead shall live, together with my dead body, they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. When is that going to take place? Well, we find out. Verse 20. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is past. That's a reference to the great tribulation. For indeed, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. That's when the Lord Jesus appears in power and glory to bring judgment upon the earth. And so these two passages, and there's others too, there's quite a number of passages in the Old Testament that speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not Jesus Christ, but of the Old Testament saints. So that takes place after the tribulation. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. And verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. And judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image. Now these are definitely Old Testament or tribulation saints. They had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. They were resurrected. They lived. They had been slain. Now they're living. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's the second resurrection. And then it goes on. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. What about the second resurrection? Second resurrection is a resurrection to judgment. After the millennium at the great white throne, in that same chapter 20, we read there in verse 11 to 15, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead, and who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the second judgment, unto condemnation, unto shame, as Daniel put it. These are the two resurrections. So the first in the order is Christ, the first fruits, to be raised from the dead with a glorified body. Afterwards, those that are in Christ, the church. It makes sense. His own body, if he's the head, is in heaven, raised. It makes sense that his body would also be raised. And then we have the Old Testament saints at the end of the age. And don't forget that Daniel 70 weeks is the time frame, the time schedule that you must understand in order to understand Old Testament prophecy. And Daniel's 70th week starts when the church is raptured, not before. It's at the end of Daniel's 70th week that he says that there will be the general resurrection of the righteous to life. They take part in that first resurrection. But the first resurrection, again, in three stages. First Christ, afterwards those that are Christ at his coming, and then the Old Testament saints at his appearing to the earth. They're going to be raised at that time. Father, we want to thank you again, your word. We thank you for a great plan of salvation. And Lord, what you're going to do in the future. We bless you, Lord. We pray that everyone here today can say from the bottom of their hearts, I have life within me and will go up when Christ appears. So, Father, we would pray for each one today that you'd bless, keep them. And as we look forward to his soon coming, we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus.